Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It is good to see you too. I missed you guys. I was so boring the last few weeks. You know how boring it is to sit around your house and do very little? I cleaned the house like 10 times. And it still needs to be clean because I have two kids. It is good to see everybody. I did miss being here. If you are a visitor, you are our guest, and we are glad to have you. If there's anything we can do for us, please let us know, whether you're watching online or if you're here in person, because we love you, and we know you could choose to worship anywhere. We're glad you chose to worship with us today. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear most Heavenly Father, we thank you for another wonderful day you've given us, especially a time where we can come together and worship. And Lord, as we look at your word, as we look at what your authorship has taught us, we continue to explore and open our hearts to the message. Thank you for all that you do for us. In most heavenly name we pray. Amen. So, today I'm going to talk about our responsibility. Yay! We love our responsibilities, right? Nope. So we have some responsibilities. And like I said, when I was at home, I felt like I should be doing something. So I took on the responsibility to kind of clean the house and also kind of make sure the kids were doing okay, doing their schoolwork and all that other stuff that means adulting in this day and age. But, you know, we have other responsibilities as well. We have a responsibility to provide for my family, that to get as healthy as I can so I can go back to work and do the things that I'm supposed to be doing. But there was one day in my life that I took on a ton of responsibility. I mean, this day is so important, I can tell you the exact same day it happened. It happened on June 19th, 2001. And I was not the only one that day to take on a responsibility, because in this room with a bunch of other people, I had no clue who any of them were. All of us said the exact same thing, and this is what we said. We said, I, state your name, do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me, according to the regulations and the Uniform Code of Military Justice. So help me God. How many of you said those exact same words? At least a dozen of you. Yes, because when you all did this, you took on a whole bunch of responsibility, right? Did it matter if you liked your leaders? No. Did it matter if you liked your president? No. But you still agreed to do the responsibility that came with making this particular oath, and you swore by your God, or our God, or the only God, that you were going to do it. So all of you did this because you realized how important it is to carry out this responsibility, because I'm going to spit, because you are a U.S. citizen. And as a U.S. citizen, you realize that there is a lot of responsibilities that come with being a U.S. citizen. But not only just that, you realize that there are a lot of rights that become with being a U.S. citizen. In fact, we have this very unique document that is not found anywhere else in the world. There are some similarities, but our document is so unique, it is so important that our country's founders decided they were going to make it a separate thing outside the Constitution, and they called it the Bill of Rights. And it started with 10, and now there are more than 20. I think there are 28, but don't quote me on that. I'm not the greatest U.S. history person. But these rights are pretty important. They say, like, we have the right to essentially be here. We have this right to worship God, and because of that, we have free speech. The right that is kind of enforced by the second one, the right to own a firearm, a fair trial, and pursue happiness. But all these, while important to us as individuals, come kind of secondary to our responsibilities. Because to make sure that these rights are enforced, we got to make sure we are doing our responsibilities as a U.S. citizen, and that means pay your taxes, serve jury duty when it's called upon you, defend the country, if need be, volunteered or enforce conscription through the draft, and participate in the democratic process. And I think that there should be a caveat to that, meaning you should be informed, but that's not even a requirement. And so I say all these things because I want you to understand that being a Christian is no different. As a Christian, we certainly do have rights as well. But I searched all the New Testament, and while the New Testament lists rights as a Christian, there are not very many rights as a Christian. This is the extensive list of being a Christian, what rights you have to being a Christian. The Jews basically had the right to the gospel first. We have a right to stand in heaven if we make it to heaven, but we don't have a right to choose where we get to stand. We have a right, if we believe and receive, to be called a child of God. This is probably the most important out of all of our Christian rights. As Paul argues, the number one chapter about rights in the Bible, Corinthians chapter 9, we have a right to eat, we have a right to drink, we have a right to a spouse, and as he says earlier in the chapter, we have a right to the things that come with having a spouse. We have a right to work for a living, and he probably writes in Hebrews, I don't know if he wrote Hebrews, we have a right to eat from the altar of God. That's the extensive list. Doesn't seem like very much, does it? Because the Bible ultimately points out, as Paul is pointing out here in chapter 9, rights that can be kind of problematic. And they're problematic for one reason. Not that they themselves, they are not important, but because they get in the way of your responsibilities. And the biggest responsibility, Paul argues, that the rights give you, that it might get in the way, is your right, your responsibility to share the gospel. You guys ever see that movie, 12 Angry Men? I don't know if there's ever a remake, but it's actually an older movie. It came out like in the 50s, late 50s, early 60s. It's a really good movie. I think it has Jimmy Stewart. Is it Jimmy Stewart? Yes, Jimmy Stewart. Great actor. It's a great movie, but one of the things that happens in the movie is there's a juror. Juror number 3, he is the last juror to change his mind about whether or not the defendant is guilty and, as he should be, innocent. And his final cry while everyone else has changed their mind is, it's my right to declare him guilty. I suppose that is true, because there's certain things you have a right to do, and if you are a juror on a trial, you have the right to declare someone innocent or guilty, but you have the responsibility to review the evidence and make sure that he is guilty or innocent. And so he was declaring him guilty because of his ego and his own bias, not based on what the evidence had to say. So just because you have a right to do something doesn't mean you should do it. And this is what Paul is arguing here, because it's going to get in the way of your responsibility. So what I want you to understand today, and what I've been kind of getting to at this really long introduction, is that as Christians, our responsibilities are significantly more important than our rights. And this is what Paul is saying. As members of the body, we enter into like this contract. I don't want to call it a contract because it's not really a contract. You don't sign anything. You don't get any special piece of paper that says this. Oh, covenant. Yes, why didn't I think of that word? That is such a much better word. Yes, we enter into a covenant. And like all covenants, now I'm going on a different tangent that I didn't originally practice. Like all covenants, there's always the contract or the covenant between the stronger person and the weaker person. In this case, it is the covenant between God and us. And God says that I'm going to uphold these responsibilities, you're going to uphold these responsibilities. And if we're not upholding our part of the covenant, we are certainly not doing our jobs or our responsibilities. And the Bible talks quite extensively about what our responsibilities are, such as if I came up here and I started telling you that the Bible says X. And you're like, I've read the Bible many, many times. The Bible never says X. Well, obviously now I am teaching a false gospel. And it's my responsibility as someone who shares this message to you, the burden of proof falls on me to prove what I'm saying is true. But that, I don't want you guys to take my word for it. You should have to go and find out what I'm saying is true as well. We also have the responsibility to help one another, whether or not we're falling away, or whether or not we're failing to understand the gospel at all. And so Paul, when he talks about all our responsibilities as Christians, the number one thing that he is concerned about is the gospel being shared. Paul views this as our most important responsibility. This is one of the reasons why when Leon came here, I did the thing that I did. And the first thing I said was, I really didn't want to talk about this subject because I find it as a distraction for the gospel being shared. Yes, it is important, and maybe it's okay to take time out to talk about it, but the primary message should always be, is the gospel being shared? And this is what Paul is saying. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win them more and more. It's our great commission. It's the only thing worth boasting. And it is so that every single person might be saved. Who? Everybody. That means we need to share it with everybody. We should not be picking and choosing who has the opportunity to hear the gospel. Now, it is on them to receive it. It is on them to accept it. But it is on us to make sure it is being shared. And if we're not doing that, then they're obviously not hearing it. So Christians, your number one responsibility, go share the gospel. Win every day. Win every opportunity. You can do it. It's not that hard. Hey, let me tell you about Jesus. He's a great guy. So share the gospel. Number two, and this is probably not the second most important, but I think a lot of them kind of fall on this one, and a lot of them come back to this one, and so that's why it's the second one I'm going to share, is we have a responsibility to be moderate. Paul talks about it extensively in the book of Corinthians, all over the book of Corinthians, and you can kind of see that here. I just outlined three separate passages. But he's not the only one who talks about this. Especially we can find it in other places in the New Testament as well, because moderation is the key to a healthy and good Christian lifestyle. In fact, this is kind of one of the arguments that the author of Ecclesiastes says, when there's nothing new under the sun, he's essentially saying that there is a time and a place for everything. There's a right way to do things. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. So do the things that you're supposed to be doing, but don't do them excessively. In fact, this point is so important that it's not even original to Christianity. There are so many different quotes you can find in the world about how the key to good living is moderation. In fact, I read this article this week about black licorice. You guys, how many people in this room like black licorice? I think it's disgusting. I think it is absolutely awful, and I can't understand why anybody would like this stuff. However, the article was about how if you eat a bag of black licorice every day for 2 weeks, you're probably going to die. That's just 2 weeks. This was according to the FDA 3 years ago, that it is going to cause so many heart problems that you will probably have a heart attack by week three. So are you guys eating a black licorice every single day? I hope not. But this just kind of illustrates my point of what something that seems basically harmless, that even doing for a little bit excessively can be incredibly dangerous. And for us as Christians, when I had talked about 2 weeks ago, one of the things I said was that there are things that we do that aren't necessarily sin, but they become sin the more excessive we do them. And so that's the point of moderation, is not to let anything become too much or too much of a problem. So we need to be careful that we are being moderate in all things that are not important. And I would say that probably the only thing that is, well, at least one of the things I can think of that we don't have to do in moderation is worship our Lord. Or even in this one, be disciplined. Paul uses this illustration as an athlete in chapter 9, and one of the things he says, but I discipline my body and I keep it under control, because what we do needs to be done with discipline. My dad growing up, he's like, you guys need discipline. You guys need discipline. I'm like, I hate this word discipline. Why would I ever want it? Stop telling me I need discipline. But I know I would not be the person I was and today if it wasn't for him disciplining me as a child. I know that I would not have survived my time in the military if I know it wasn't for them disciplining me in a way that I certainly did not like. You guys like doing PT? I hate PT. But those are the things you have to learn. Your body has to be disciplined, just as we as Christians need to be disciplined as well. James talks about it in the terms of the tongue. Paul talks about it in the terms of our actions. The things we do have consequences, so we need to make sure that we are disciplining our body in the correct way, that our actions are showing the world a positive Christian influence and not a negative Christian influence. And then it also comes in word as well. So we have a responsibility to be disciplined. We have a responsibility to examine ourselves. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, 5, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize that it's about you, yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the purpose? Make sure you are who you say you are. How do you know who you are and who you say you are? Well, you examine yourself. So if I come up to you and Co, I'm going to pick on you a little bit because I think you can handle it. And I'm going to come up to you and I'm going to say, Co, I saw that you're not doing a very Christian-like thing. What's your first automatic reaction? Hopefully, that's your first automatic reaction. Tell me so I can fix it. What helped me to examine myself so I can fix my action? Now, a lot of us, we would tend to become very, very defensive. We want to say, no, it's certainly not me. And then we start to double down in our sin, I guess. And so that means we're not doing any self-examination. So kind of one thing that I decided to do a long time was anytime someone came up to me with new information or information that I found to be different than my worldview, I always assume that I could be wrong. Now that doesn't mean I'm going to assume you're right, I'm just going to assume that I could be wrong so I can examine myself to see whether or not I am wrong. And once I've actually examined myself and I've looked at the evidence and I said, okay, I can see, maybe you have a point, maybe I am doing this sinful thing, and then hopefully I'd want to correct it. But without that self-examination, you're never really going to know whether or not what you're doing is right, especially if someone tells you. So make sure you examine your actions and you spend time examining those actions that you are living in the faith, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians. So examine yourself. And one thing that we don't have to be moderate in is we don't have to be moderate in our devotion. So we have a responsibility to be devoted. I love this quote from Jeremiah. He says, but let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, and that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. What is devotion? Devotion is our time where we come together with God. It is a duty, it is a responsibility, but it is also a delight. We don't do it because we feel forced to. We do it because we want to. It is not lip service. It is, I love God so much that I want to spend time with Him. And not only do I want to spend time with Him, I want to spend time with Him with all of you. Because that is part of our devotion. Whether it's quiet or public, we understand that our love for God knows no bounds. It is our responsibility to stay devoted to Him. This one I originally did not have in here because I felt like it kind of went with the one I talked about, the self-reflection. But I felt like this mentioned at least because of the lesson last week, this at least deserved to be said because it is very, very important, and I thought it was And I thought, and I agree with it 100%, that we have a responsibility to be due diligent. We don't accept what is said is true. We examine to see whether or not it is true. We study Scripture. I hope that you don't say, hey, I heard John Paul say this, and because John Paul said this, it must be true. Well, that is actually the fallacy. It's called an appeal to authority fallacy. I expect you guys to not only make sure what I'm saying is true, but that you go out and share that what is true in the Bible. And if I hear you say something is wrong, it is my responsibility also to fact check you as well. And the example Johnny gave last week was when I said a few weeks ago about the stance of prayer. I can see where the confusion came, but he was right. I should have been more clear about that particular issue. There's no right stance to prayer, but there is a right way to go to God. And I appreciated him coming to me and telling me that so I can come and say, hey, I kind of messed up here. I'm okay with messing up because I know you guys are doing the right thing and you're going to tell me as well. So make sure you're staying due diligent in your responsibilities as well. We have a responsibility to be courageous. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I think if I can name one quote out of Joshua, this is probably the only thing I can tell you from memory. I'm sure all of you have heard it before. It's certainly not easy to go up to someone we don't know and say, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. I feel like if someone did that to me, I'd be like, you know, I think that's okay. My name is John Paul. What's your name? It does feel kind of uncomfortable. It does make us worried. Especially because we don't know these people. We don't know how they're going to act. But when you look at the example of the early church spread incredibly quickly, and it spread on a day, the Pentecost, where all these people who got together who not normally saw each other every single day of the year, and they said, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about how you can be saved. And 3,000 people were saved on that single day by people they had probably never met in their whole lives, and probably by people that they would never, ever see again. See, that's one of the other things, is you never know what kind of impact you're going to have on someone, so you have to use the courage that God has given you to be in these situations. Now, I look at courage like I look at patience. I don't like to pray for patience because the best way to get patience is to be in a situation where you're going to need patience. And courage is the same way. The best way to get courage is to put yourself in a situation where you're going to need it. So, like when I talked at the very beginning, when I did my oath, I always knew it would be a possibility that I was going to need courage one day, that someday someone might shoot at me. And that actually happened. And what did I do? Well, part of me wanted to hide, but the other part of me said, no, I'm not going to do that. And because of my discipline, see how these are all related, I was able to stand up in that particular situation. So that's why it's also important to be disciplined, is because when you're in the situation where you need courage, you'll be able to use it. Whether or not he's standing up to other Christians, the world, or even Satan, all these things are going to require you to be courageous. So I hope when the time comes, you will have the responsibility to use your courage. This one should probably be two separate ones, but I'm going to put them together just because I've talked a lot about this issue before. But we have a responsibility as Christians to, whether or not we're followers or whether or not we're leaders, to follow or lead. If we're a follower, we understand that we have to submit to those. Do I like my president? Maybe not. But will I follow him? If I'm in the military, yes, I will. The only way for a loss is that there's only one reason I would not have to follow him, and that is that he is giving an unlawful order. And that's what the Nuremberg trials taught us. But whether or not I agree with his orders, I have decided that as joining up in the military, that I was going to follow his orders, and that was the decision I made. And so this is the same thing we see here. As followers, when we join the church, we willingly submit ourselves to the leaders of this church. I am not a leader. You're not submitting yourself to me, but you are submitting yourself to David, John, and Alan. And that means whether or not you agree with them or their decisions, unless they're a matter of salvation, you have a responsibility to follow their orders. Well, not orders, but their leadership. And just like the same way as a leader, they have a responsibility to teach, to equip, to kind of check up on us, make sure we're okay. They have to do their responsibility because authority does bring a responsibility. So make sure you, whether you're a follower or you're a leader, you are doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. Two more. I promise this list is not exhaustive by any means. I kept it down to 10. But the last two I think are pretty important. We have a responsibility to be sacrificial. There's an example given in 2 Samuel where one king is talking and he's like, and he basically says that he wants to pay for it. And he's like, you know, I know that you're willing to do this for me, but if I don't pay for it, then it essentially costs me nothing. And if it costs me nothing, the sacrifice means absolutely nothing. The same thing for us. For us, sacrifice always costs us something. Just like it cost God the blood of Christ for us to find atonement, we have to sacrifice our every part of our life to make sure we are living the correct Christian lifestyle. And it is not something that's once in a while, as Paul writes in Romans. It is an everyday occurrence. So whether it be a friendship because the person doesn't want to deal with you anymore, whether it be a child, Jesus says, mother will be against daughter, son will be against father, we're going to have to be willing to sacrifice the things that are necessary to follow Jesus. And not only about that, we're going to have to be thankful for it. So I kind of look at it as giving. You should give, but you should be happy about giving. You should sacrifice. You should be thankful about your sacrifice because it is pleasing to God. And we do it because of the last one. All of them fall on the last one. We should have a responsibility to love with every fiber of your being. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love Him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Jesus thought this was so important that He said it is the most important. All the law of the prophets falls on this. But He added something else. He said, and then you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But as the rich young ruler said, who is my neighbor? He says, okay, let me tell you a story. Here's a great story about three people. Two of them who you think are great are going to be terrible, but one of them who you think is terrible is going to be great. And that is the person that is your neighbor. You don't like them? Tough. You have to love them with every fiber of your being. And there's only one thing, person, etc., that you can love more than that person, and it is not yourself, it is your God. Is there anything more important than that? And so as Christians, we have a responsibility to love with every fiber of our being. You certainly have rights. In this country, you have a lot of great rights, and some people think they're terrible, but I think they're awesome. But who you are as a Christian has nothing to do with those. And if those things are getting in your way as being a Christian, then you need to make a choice which one is more important. It is more important for us to be a Christian than it is for us to be an American. Because it doesn't matter if we're an American. Being an American is not going to save us. Being an American might mean we get to live in better comfort, or we might have more... I'm just going to go with comfort. I'm not going to spitball there. But those things are going to get into the way of what it means to share a gospel. And our responsibility as a Christian is significantly more important than those hindrances. The world will know who we are by the things we do. But we want those things to be positive influences. We want to say to the world, hey, let me tell you about this great guy called Jesus who saved us and offers us a path to heaven. And I want to share that message with you. It's on you to accept it, but I'm never going to stop telling that message. I hope all of you respond to that every single day, to look up to your responsibilities. And if you can't, well, we are here to help. And if you'd like to respond to this message in any way, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing this song.